Check 1 2, check 1 2. All right, looks good. Check 1 2, check 1 2. All right, that microphone is good. And then if you could just speak into that handheld for me one moment.
Check 1 2, check
All
1 2.
right, we're both clear. And then are you folks mostly going to be standing here?
I'll probably be standing here. Yeah, he's good rather than.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to make sure the camera's pointed in the right direction, but it sounds like we are all good.
Fifty or 440. So we're.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Okay. So I don't really need to do anything up here. I'm just maybe. I can't see the time. So if I glance at my watch, it's not because I'm wondering when I get to leave. It's just want to make sure I'm not going too long. Okay. So we start at 3:50 here. We're going to get started. Welcome. Welcome to, I think, the last session of the day, right? 3:50. So you probably all came here thinking you'll relax and get a few things done. And I hate to say we're going to probably ruin that plan. The thinking is that we'll have a little less of us talking in this session, and a little more participation. The idea here is to have more of a discussion. So you might also need your phones if you have your phones. Probably no one's ever asked this in a presentation before, but you may need to scan a QR code. So if you want to participate in that portion. My name is Dennis Bridges. I realize I forgot to introduce myself at every session that I've done so far. So that's a fail, but we're always improving. I'm a product owner that's been working on acquisitions for a long, long time in Folio. I work with EBSCO primarily, and I'm joined by my esteemed colleague here, Joe Reimers. The two of us are working together essentially in acquisition. So if we haven't met you, it's a pleasure. Thank you for coming. We hope you aren't disappointed. The goals for today's session are to build a quick foundation for the discussion that we're going to have in here, the things that we're going to look at. Then we are going to explore some of the pain points. This will hopefully all make sense as we get into the slides a little bit more, but we're going to talk a lot about pain points in acquisitions. You know, we'll be exercising some demons in here. Hopefully you come out of here feeling better. And we want to discuss, obviously, how maybe we can improve things and hopefully gain a sense of priorities, your priorities around resolving certain pain points. So maybe go to the next slide. This is part of kind of setting up the baseline. That might win an award for the worst, least visible slide of all time. It's actually the point, though, is not to be able to see what is in this diagram. If you did want to see this diagram, there are lots of links to this. The reason why I wanted to show this is that some of the assumptions that we've made here, some of the things that we're going to be asking about, actually come from discussions that we had in the acquisition SIG that turned into a subgroup that met to talk about integrations and ended up building value stream maps for one-time orders and ongoing orders for electronic resources and monographs. So there are these wonderfully cluttered value stream maps in Miro that are accessible through the wiki if you're interested. But just wanted to highlight that some of the pain points that we've kind of brought forward, they came out of these discussions. So we heard a number of things, these discussions, we've gathered that stuff here, and we'll go to the next slide. So the pain points were all broadly related to these sort of categories or themes. And when we talk about pain points, I think in many cases, we're talking about things being time consuming, things being maybe quality being a problem with certain things. So rework being needed, or maybe in some cases, the cost of maintaining certain parts of the workflow. So any of those things qualify as pain if you hadn't already categorized yourself. And the things that we're highlighting here are, on the slide. So what we're going to ask you to do is to scan this QR code. Here comes the phone part. I'll just pretend you're all taking pictures of me doing a great job. And I'll give you, maybe we'll just take five to 7 minutes. We'll see how much time you actually need. But there are two questions in this, and we'll see the results as you're responding up here on the screen. The first thing that we want you to look at is, of these pain points, that of these themes where we think there are pain points, which resonates most with you, essentially? How would you prioritize these? And then based on your responses, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure. We may go in a different direction. We may all just leave if no one responds. I shouldn't have given you that option. And maybe I'll just add a little context here, not to sway the votes, but one thing I wanted to just clarify. So creating orders manually is probably pretty straightforward. That in this category, we're thinking you're spending time actually inputting data into an order form. Claiming is a little more broad in that this probably the scope of this is managing claims. And that might be updating the information you have in your system, communicating with a vendor about the status of things, So that's more the claiming process. Creating invoices manually is pretty straightforward. Inputting data to create invoices inside of your ILS, or let's say Folio in this case. Gathering information needed for related work. This, you know, there were comments in the discussions we had about needing to go to different systems to get certain information for specific workflows. Maybe even needing to go between different applications in Folio to reference information and come back and do something in another app. So that was, yeah, gathering information related to the work. Enriching bibliographic metadata, pretty straightforward. Managing purchase requests. There was actually a fair bit of discussion around how different libraries are managing purchase requests and the systems they're using to manage purchase requests today. And a lot of that is sort of ad hoc, or it's a spreadsheet, really depends on the library. Some libraries have built pretty elaborate systems or customized solutions like Jira to manage purchasing requests. So yeah, would be really interested to talk more about those. And then managing finances is more obviously, you know, spending time managing your budgets, allocating, making allocations to budgets, making transfers. We've recently released, you know, the batch allocation functionality. So maybe that's not going to be as much of a pain point, but all of those things. And then, of course, other, if you want to bring something new to the table, that's fine too. That is very interesting. Okay. And then, yeah, second question. The one thing I wanted to mention about this, maybe you've already responded. If you haven't had time to respond, our thoughts here, we had heard about certain things, like certain aspects of the acquisitions workflow that live in the margin. They're time consuming, but they maybe don't deliver enough value for it to be worth it to do that thing anymore if you have to be doing other things. An example of this was duplicate checking was talked about for EE resource packages, I think, mostly. So it's like you're not really sure if you actually get this thing already somewhere else, but the time it would take you to figure it out maybe isn't worth spending the time doing that. Because the $35 it's going to cost to have that, you might as well just buy it again. That was kind of what we're thinking here, is that there are parts of the workflow like that. There's value capture that lives in the margin there. There might be opportunity with new technology to recapture some of that value with Folio. So if you can think of anything else like that, we'd be really interested in hearing about it. Documentation is one. That's a problem you could solve for me too. Okay, and these will remain open, right? The survey would remain open. Just again, question two, and folks online, I didn't really think about this, but we have 25 people online as well. I hope you're all able to respond as well. I'll just check the chat.
Yeah, and the poll will remain open throughout the conference. It'll close end of the day tomorrow. So you can come back and add more things.
Wonderful. I see a thumbs up from Kimberly. So I think that means that they were able to respond as well. So it looks to me like we should maybe look at invoices first. We have a couple of workflow diagrams here that highlight, I guess, like potential potential innovations that may be interesting for Folio. And I guess with respect to invoices, because this has come up in other discussions, is anyone able to share why you'd responded with this as like one of the key areas where you're spending time?
I can run or throw the microphone. Yeah. You're interested.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jalea from the University of Colorado Boulder. We just have so many invoices that from so many vendors that are not that don't do EDI, and then we also have to duplicate that, so we don't connect into our university system, and so we put the invoice into Folio, and we also replicate it in the university system. And for context, the university has like stats on just people who submit invoices, and our accounting specialist is like the highest user of the whole university of their system too. So we have like the most amount of invoices for the whole entire university. So it's like, we just have so many.
And is that, sorry, just one second. Yeah. Is that because is like the nature of what you're ordering from these vendors? Are they like smaller vendors? Is it like special collections specific, or is there anything about these invoices or the orders behind them?
Yeah, I mean, it's a range. So it's not all like library specific vendors. There's a lot of transactions on credit cards and Amazon I saw up there. But, you know, yeah, we go with all the regular library vendors, but we just have a broad range of vendors.
Okay. I think if I don't speak into this, they won't hear me. So the other question I have is, are most of that invoice information coming via email to you originally? Or so, yes, sounds like coming by email. Stephanie, did you still?
So I think I was just training our new student worker on entering invoices, and it was fascinating to be reminded just the workflow in entering your invoice. Like the invoice number is in the stupidest place possible. It's like all the way down. And so you almost always forget to add that because it should just be up at the top. And then even the amount, trying to explain to a student worker who hadn't been in Folio before, oh, no, that goes from the POL. And then you need to be able to put that in and et cetera. And some of that, it was a good reminder of how laborious I think it is to just enter an invoice.
Do you primarily have student workers doing that type of work? Yes. So the response, yeah, yes. Any other questions about this?
Side note, if I missed any major comments, please let me know. I'm trying to capture all this.
The other thing that I was curious about is time spent reviewing invoices. So when you rated, you know, in invoice manual input, are we really specifically talking about spending time inputting the data? Or when you think about that, are you including the time spent reviewing it to approve those invoices, making sure like a student worker has done the work correctly? Scott?
So I would say the review step is completely separate for us because we work completely within Folio. And we have an integration with Oracle for the campus system. So the, everything just goes, flows through there. So that part is easy for us. But the creation, one by one, lots of clicks, lots of things that are in different places on the stage, on the form, is difficult for people. The review step, so the person creating it has different sets of issues, which I think everyone else has already mentioned. But the our review step is someone who's a separate person for separation of duties, who is reviewing it and making sure the data is correct and everything. They're just reviewing and making sure there's the same number of lines, the totals match, and that sort of thing. They're not really looking one line by line. And then when I approve the invoices, I hate the three steps. I think it's three clicks per invoice, three or four clicks per invoice. Because I'm really just looking at the bigger picture there. I'm not looking at everything aligned on it. We have thousands of invoices a year, lots of different vendors. And it's just, I'm trying to remember how many, I noticed the other day when I was approving invoices, it was, you know, click on the invoice. It opens up. Click on the dropdown. Click approve. Click submit. Then you have to click on the next invoice because it doesn't move into the next invoices in the, so if I pull up all the invoices that are in reviewed status, it still displays the one that I just approved instead of moving into the next one. So then I have to click on the invoice and go through the whole, whatever, seven, eight, it feels like seven or eight steps to me to click it. And so.
Yeah, with every invoice, we spend time comparing the titles, comparing the vendor, make sure it matches, comparing the ISSN, comparing the vendor ID numbers. I mean, we're going back and forth between different screens, comparing all of the information on the invoice to what we have in Folio. And also comparing payment histories, you know, is this, have we already paid for this, or are they now billing for a different subscription period than they have previously? There's like every single part of the invoice, we're going back and forth between order records, inventory holdings, payments, you know, we're comparing all of these different points every time we pay an invoice, you know, is the title different this time than it was last time? There's a lot of comparison work that goes into paying an invoice. Yeah, and we ask for that to be done almost at each level of the person that's creating it, the person that's reviewing it, you know, before it gets paid, we want it to go through these separate checks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there specific types of invoice where that is like more pronounced, like multi-line approval plan invoices, or is it like in a lot of cases you're reviewing, you know, holdings, the order record, the, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Is it specific to any type of order?
My department is just cereals, okay. Catering resources. Yeah.
So you're dealing with a lot of packages and stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Okay.
Did I hear something?
Okay, I'll hang on to this for now.
I'm capturing stuff in chat as well.
Oh, great. Many non-EDI vendors, yeah, and we have to replicate orders and invoices in university purchase system. That was kind of talked about, yeah. Staff at our library doing a lot of paying of invoices, would love to be able to have templates. A couple thumbs up for templates.
I'm thumbs upping anything that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. More thumbs up in the room for templates. Good. too much clicking. Yeah, resonated. So when we're, that's kind of interesting. I think based on what Scott was saying, the clicking has more to do with the review step, reviews and approvals, or I should say approval and payment of invoices versus the actual input of the invoices. But it sounds to me like maybe by show of hands, if you had to choose which of those two things, and I, you know, this is a ballpark and maybe heavily biased by what your current job is, but are libraries spending more time or more resources, because it could be multiple people's time, I guess, right? Inputting the invoice data versus approving and paying, like processing the invoices. By show of hands for inputting the invoice data, there's no right or wrong answer here. And I'm not recording this part, so you can really say whatever you want. Okay. And then...
one hand up online.
Okay, well, if you're responding online, it is recorded then. Just a warning. Oh, there's a hand up.
Yeah. Just raised her hand. Kimberly Bowen also said inputting.
I will metaphorically pass the microphone to Lisa if you want to unmute. And
I was just voting for inputting takes more time at our library.
Right. So who would advocate for the approving and paying, like the processing of invoices taking more time? Show of hands. Going once. Ooh, okay. You've now just volunteered to have a conversation with us. I saw, quick math, 7 hands, at least in the room. Impact your, yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. Absolutely. Okay. Another one for you.
We want me to run their mic rant.
I mean, you see, I told you you were.
Thanks, Owen. Okay, does anyone else have a comment regarding invoicing before we move on? Okay. Let's maybe move to the next bit. Oh yeah, I've now covered this up. So we could go to creating orders manually or claiming, gathering information. Three-way tie. How do we decide? Maybe we'll just go with the top one on the list. Otherwise, there are going to be a lot of raising hands. So let's look at creating orders manually. This is also maybe to some extent kind of related to invoices. We can have like similar, I think probably similar questions. Why, what orders are you spending time creating manually for the most part? Is this a specific type of order? Does this just have to do with smaller vendors? Like, is it a similar situation to the invoice input?
Hi, this is Angie Rathmel with the University of Kansas. So I don't have any experience doing this in Folio. We just are new to this, but I can speak from the workflow itself. It is parallel to the invoice work, but even more work goes into new kinds of what we call weird cuss word type orders. So like e-resource orders that aren't e-journals, they aren't e-books, they just are weird.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I voted for gathering information that I think is related to this, because what is this like? that I can even build off of. So those kinds of orders that are increasing.
Are you getting that order information electronically, like via email or something? Or are we talking weird, like post-it note?
No, we get it electronically, either through email or through, we've created a form for people to submit.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But it doesn't go into anything. It just keeps it in order.
Okay. So if you're collecting through a form, someone's requesting a purchase.
Yes.
Right. So you're categorizing, like, it may be like an actual order record that you, like, you've placed an order with a vendor and you are inputting those details into your ILS, or it may be a request for a purchase to be made that you're keying into. Where do you key that stuff in? Just curious. Spreadsheet, or like, do you have a system that you're using to manage those?
Yeah. So it goes from whatever the form of request is to the system.
Okay.
But yeah, manually.
Yeah. That's going to send us on a tangent of gathering information. We're going to go to that next. So just before we do that, any other comments about the types of orders that you're creating, inputting manually? Any other characteristics, like specific characteristics about them? Scott?
Thanks. This will be very brief. Actually, the big difference for me is that orders have templates and invoices don't. And that makes a big difference, at least in terms of how much time.
Stephanie?
I could have a conversation about this all day long. one of the things that I've noticed is hard. We still order a lot of print, and the ones that really always trip us up are the multi-volume that get published throughout multiple years. Mm. And so when they come out, a new instance holding item, if we're ordering it from Gobi, comes in automatically, or when a student worker is inputting it, that gets put in automatically. And then the cleanup for that, good gravy, it trying to track all that down, because you don't need separate instances of these things. They just need to get put on the main record. And it takes a lot of time to track that down.
Yeah. You're trying to creep us into the next topic as well. I see you. No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. So I guess it's an association of that order record with other records in the system, specifically instance records or bibliographic data. Yeah. Well, let's use that as a transition. I think first it would be interesting to look at the purchase requests, because that was, we've sort of touched on it now. We might as well dig a little deeper. And we actually had a fair bit of discussion around this with the integration, the group that was discussing integrations and the value stream. And it was like highlighted in those value stream maps as a place where a fair bit of time is spent. I'm going to poorly summarize this maybe, but in some cases, or in many cases, well, I shouldn't say that. There are cases where you have rules for categorizing purchase requests, right? And those are quick, because if it can be classified, some institutions have automations that process those. Some institutions don't. Rules like, if it's this type of order, we get it from here, we get it from this vendor, and we always buy it, or if it's under a certain value, then we'll just buy it, those types of rules, that type of processing. In cases where it's slightly more unique request, it can be kind of painstaking, like it can be very time consuming. So I guess, two-part question, is it true that you have a really broad spectrum of how much time is spent on purchase requests? Show of hands if that's true, or a thumbs up. Okay. I see some thumbs up in the Zoom. Thank you. The second part of the question would be, in the cases where it is very time consuming, like what are the primary characteristics of those things? So is it the type of order? I'm assuming it's not the type of order, the type of material necessarily. It's more specific than that. It's maybe falls outside of your rules. And for every library, that could be a little different. Does anyone have any comments on what the more time consuming purchase request evaluations are? I'm just pointing to people up here.
Okay.
So our purchase requests happen outside of Folio. We have like a whole JIRA system for purchase requests.
Right.
And I would say that the more time consuming element is particularly with ebooks. The acquisitions person is seeing like what ebook purchase options are available and then going back and forth with the selector about which one they actually want and why, and which fits the use case, whether it's like a classroom use or a single faculty that just needs a single user level. So that kind of back and forth is, I would say.
Yeah. Communication with the requester of the thing to get clarification about what they need, because your acquisition is probably a lot more detailed than I need Harry Potter. It's like, yeah,
this is that. This is a similar one where it's like electronic resource packages, and so we would have a queue where all the stakeholders would meet twice a week, and we would try to figure out what funds we were going to use to pay for it. Would it be multiple? Would multiple people step up to pay for it? How many people did we need to license it for? And so there would be a queue where we would go through all of the electronic resource packages we would purchase twice a week, so everyone could kind of figure out what we were going to do. And we would also try to document when we chose not to buy it, so the next time you got a request for it in 2 years, you had a record that we already said we weren't going to buy that.
And why?
And yeah. Why? Yeah. And maybe it changed and you would buy it the next time, but you had a record that it had already been discussed.
Right.
And that was, we were using Quorl for that to manage that queue.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of our like serials continuations have to be reviewed and sort of compiled with collection development before it gets chosen to be purchased. But I think one of the things is like, there's so much context to, yeah, sort of that, like, why did we buy it? And what was our decision-making factors? All of that context would be so useful to have in that order or like with the order, so that when we go to renew it, we have like all these systems outside where we try to keep that information, but there's situations where I'm always like, I wish I could just attach this into this order so that I could, you know, save it for when it comes up again. And we have that whole history of like, what did we do here? Because that those factors are so important for like, should we continue to buy this?
Yeah. So I think I need to ask a follow up on that, because and it may be tough to quantify this, but So we have two different circumstances of gathering information in order to make the purchase request decision. And one circumstance, you're gathering it from the person who made the request. In another circumstance, you're gathering information about previous decisions or maybe whether you own it already or not, or some other version of it or edition, or, you know, and maybe does that work include like where to buy it, how much it's going to cost, whether you have enough money in the budget to make the purchase? I'm assuming all of those things are part of gathering information. I see people sort of nodding. One request, yeah, per request.
Yeah, all of those things happen, and they can happen in one instance, not just sometimes it's this and other times it's this. It's yeah. Sometimes it's all three of those things.
Yeah. And so, sorry, someone going to mention something? Okay. I'm wanting to sort of try and quantify this a little bit. Like the amount, are you spending more time gathering information to make the decision about the request? What's the labor intensive part, I think, is what I'm trying to get at. So do you spend more time gathering the information, clicking around, going here, going there, searching, or more information inputting the data into your system?
No, I definitely say it's coordinating all the different places that it resides.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I mean, for me, sometimes it's just like all the information lives in my email, and it's, I just am searching years of emails to try to find it. And I would, if I had a better email management or techniques to save that, it would be better.
We were talking about so it sounds to me, well, I'm kind of curious now. Do you, of these like purchase requests that come in, are the majority of them requests that you need to make a decision about, or requests that are sort of automatically, you know, based on your defined rules, they're sort of easy to deal with? Like, trying to understand what percentage of these requests are time consuming. Maybe that's a better way to ask the question. Is it a small portion of the requests that are time consuming, or maybe actually, like, I know this might be a tough question to answer to. We really appreciate, even though it's not Folio, it's good to know there's problems everywhere. Okay.
I think the ones that are straightforward are more easily automated. And I think we're doing a lot of them, but yeah, they're automated.
Right.
And so we are spending more labor and more work and seeing more frequency of these kinds of orders. So it's not like they're one-offs. Those are becoming the norm.
Okay. Things that fall outside of your defined rules, basically. Could anyone share some numbers, like how many requests you manage in a year? I know that we talked about this in the AXIG. I think a few people, maybe through Slack, shared some numbers, but anybody have ballpark numbers? And if you don't right now, that's totally fine. If you do have numbers and you're interested or open to sharing them with us, let us know. Or share them in the Slack channel, in the acquisition Slack channel. That'd be great.
I want to say it was like 7 or 8 a week.
Yeah.
And I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it does take time if you have to have a conversation about those 7 or 8.
Right.
And that's not your whole job.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say that, like, they felt bigger because they often cost more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should check the time. Oh, yeah, we have until 4:40. Okay. Jeez, last session of the day. We're going to keep everybody. You shouldn't have walked into this room. Just give Joe a minute to catch up, because really appreciate all this feedback. There's been a lot of great feedback here.
Still can. That number is upwards of 100.
Spokane, yeah. So this is a public library, Spokane PL, I think. Yeah.
Dennis,
yeah.
If I may, well, Joe's caught up now. I was going to, but just that issue of like recording information about non-purchase and decision-making was something that was also a big focus of discussion when we were first developing the ERM app. So the idea of being able to have an agreement which you didn't actually
agree,
like you never signed a license for it,
yeah,
but you recorded the agreement to say like we tried this and we didn't take it, but yeah. It is possible in agreements, but it's very much linked into the idea that you would have trialed it first. And of course, I think your example, that's not even true. And so you'd have to then kind of fake it by saying, we took this agreement for one day and decided not to progress with it. It would be nicer if like we could do that more. But obviously, like for those, I guess there are no orders for these. So the question about where that information goes kind of feels like a really interesting one.
Yeah.
That maybe is above, you know, agreements or orders, because it's true no matter whether it's electronic or print or whatever, you still want to be able to go back and say, yeah, we didn't buy this because it's too damn expensive, or it's not relevant to our, you know, current research focus, or we already have an equivalent resource that we would recommend instead for undergraduate students or whatever it is, you know.
Go ahead.
But even having, so the other side of it is also when it gets fulfilled, having a tickler or something that reminds you to let that person know. So I'll put a request on something and then I'm trying to then track it down for a print, say, track that down, see where it is in the process. And sometimes I'll lose track of it and then go, oh, it never got on hold or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and then the electronic, when it does get fulfilled, being reminded to get that out to whomever it is and who is that person. So Mosaic has a great email. You get your fulfillments, you see those fulfilled, and then you go, oh, wait, who was that for? And then having to go back and double check that too. So there's so many pieces that get lost in the midst of a hectic day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they are probably, like, that information's in the system even somewhere. It's just that it's not surfaced at the right time. Yeah. Those are such, I don't want to use the word interesting because it's not interesting. I think there's a huge amount of value in those use cases that is attainable to recapture, you know, which makes them interesting. Okay. Okay. The next thing on the list was, oh, we have 3 minutes left. Okay. More merciful.
Can we please, sir? Can we get you?
A final slide essentially was to just say, that, you know, we appreciate the feedback. I feel like we don't get enough opportunities maybe to daydream a little bit more about Folio at a 30,000 foot level. We have spent maybe more so in the last couple of years, just based on the life cycle of the product, you know, looking at specific problems that exist in the platform today, trying to solve those. And a little less time dreaming about the future. So this was fun. I appreciate everyone taking the time to contribute their expertise here, as always. And we want to take this information back to the acquisition SIG and continue this discussion. So some of you I know, I'll see there. I'm sorry. No. And if you haven't been and you're interested, keep in mind there's an acquisition SIG special interest group that you can join and contribute to this discussion further. So thanks everyone. Yeah. Have a great day.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.